Okay, shalom to everybody. Thought of learning with you something from Rav Kook in honor of Pesach. And he is the first one that I saw that deals with the question of why is it so important that Pesach comes out in the spring, right? We all know that it's Chodesh HaAviv. We know that it's called Chag HaAviv, the holiday of spring. I imagine most of you know, but I don't know if it ever registered, that the entire Jewish calendar is based on the fact that Pesach has to come out in spring. You all know that 7 out of every 19 years is a leap year. And in the Jewish leap year, it's not just like in the solar year, they add a day in February, one day more, one day less, doesn't make a big difference, unless that's your birthday. In the Jewish calendar, just about every third year has another month of Adar. And the reason why we add an entire 30-day month of Adar is because on those particular years, it's too cold, and Pesach would come out in the winter, and that cannot be. The whole idea is that Pesach has to come out during the spring. And the question is, what is the symbolism? What is the idea, the philosophy behind this? And Rav Kook, as always, is a very original thinker. And this is one of those things that it's just so obvious after he says it, you know, you just say, you know, how did I not think of it? How did anybody not think of it before? Let's see it inside. This from Olat Re'iya, his commentary on the Sidur, page 37. Vayaki yevi'acha Hashem el eretz ha'knani ha'chiti ha'mori v'chivi v'yivusi. Hashem says, when I will bring you into the promised land, Eretz Kanaan, the land of the Chiti, the Amori, the Canaanite people, Asher nishba lavotecha latet lecha eretz zavat chalav udvash. The land that Hashem promised to us, He promised our forefathers, Brit Milah, is about giving us Eretz Yisrael. And Brit Bein HaBetarim is about giving us Eretz Yisrael. This idea of the Eretz Zavat Chalav Udvash, a very fruitful land of milk and honey, which, by the way, if you look in the commentaries, a lot to explain the land of milk and honey is really an agricultural bracha. And it's pretty clear that way. Halachically, when we bring the bikurim, the first fruits, right, we only bring them from the seven fruits of Eretz Yisrael, the figs, the dates, pomegranates, and you only bring it from the western part of Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Canaan, the main part of Eretz Yisrael. You remember that Reuven, Gad, and half of Menasheh wanted to stay on the east bank? Now that is a lower level of Eretz Yisrael, but it's not called Eretz Zavat Chalav Udvash. So you can't bring Bikurim from the east bank. Now it's interesting. Why did Reuven and Gad, why did they want to stay on the east bank? Anybody remember? It's good pasture land. And they said, we have a lot of sheep. Now, the idea of eating grass, and it's good pasture, is to produce milk. Now, if the East Bank has better milk than the West Bank, then we should bring Bikurim Davka from the Eastern Bank and not from the Western Bank. Do you see that? Apparently, Eretz Zavat Chalav Udvash is not talking about milk of cows or of sheep, but it's talking about, if we have time at the end, we'll go into more detail. It's talking about white wine is called chalav. And by the way, that's interesting. You remember when Ya'il gave Sisra chalav and it put him to sleep and she was able to kill him with the tent peg? Dafka fits in very well that she didn't give him milk. She gave him white wine and that's what tired him out. Okay? So chalav is probably white wine. Devash is any kind of nectar, right? Eretz chita usara gemete navarimon eretz eit shemen udevash. What is devash? Sorry? Okay, so that's what many people think it's honey. But in the pasuk of the seven species, it's talking about pomegranates and dates and figs. Dvash is not honey, because that's not a fruit. Dvash there is dates. How do we know that dates are part one of the seven species? That if you eat dates, you have to make the special ala etz val priya etz, afterwards. You know what I'm talking about? Okay. Where's dates of the pasuk? Tavash is dates. Because if anybody has heard of date honey, Silan, the healthy people today, and some eat bee honey, some people eat date honey. If so, Eretz Zavat Chalav Udvash is the land of milk and honey, which is referring to the land of wine and dates, or figs also make nectar. In other words, it's talking about the fruitfulness of Eretz Yisrael. So Hashem is telling us, I am going to bring you to the land of fruitfulness. Va'avadeta et ha'avodah hazot b'chodesh hazeh. And you shall do all of this service, let's talk about the Korban Pesach, in this month. From here we learn that the holiday of Pesach has to be done in the month of Nisan. And there are other psukim as well. And the question is, why is it so important that Chag Ha'aviv comes out in the Aviv, right? That it's the spring. What's the connection? Rav Kook right away gets to the punchline. Mechuvanim hem mikrea ha'pratiim shel Eretz Yisrael ele ma'oraot ha'gdolim. Anybody who believes in God knows that God controls the world. Many of you may know that what is the word in Hebrew? Mikre? Kara mikre. A coincidence. But even the word mikre is not a coincidence because it is the letters Rak Mehashim. Right? Everything is from God. Now we believe that when it rains, it's from God. In Chassidut, they even say that sometimes Hashem will make an entire tornado in order to move one blade of grass closer to one worm. Have you heard that? God runs the show. Now, Kal Vachomer, I'm sure all of you have heard the term Bashert. What is Bashert? That your Chatan, matches are made in heaven. Now, if everything is made in heaven, and obviously matches are made in heaven, so obviously the match between Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael is also made in heaven. And all of the details in this shidduch are perfectly suited. It's even a midrash. Chazal tell us, should have brought it in the sheet, God says, I have a beloved nation, Am Yisrael, and I have a beloved land, Eretz Yisrael. Let's make a shidduch between my favorite nation and my favorite land. And he gave us the land of Israel. Now, God obviously runs even hashgacha pratit. He runs even the smallest details. So Kal Vachomer, when he matches, makes a shidduch on something big, historic, like giving the land of Israel to the people of Israel, every single detail is figured out. Especially the historic details. And that's our question. Why did God take out the Jewish people in the month of Nisan, in the Aviv, in the spring? Shel hofa'at kedusha shel or Hashem. Obviously, it's thought out very well. When is God going to reveal his light in Yitziat Mitzrayim? Asher ba'u biglala. The light which comes because of Eretz Yisrael. Rav Kook is saying something very obvious after he says it. It can't be a coincidence that the spring of the Jewish people, when Am Yisrael begins to flourish, Yitziat Mitzrayim, Pesach, obviously is going to come out at the time when the land of Israel is flourishing, the spring. So the spring of Am Yisrael and the spring of Eretz Yisrael are perfectly suited, and that's why the entire Jewish calendar has to go around it. But why is it so important? We know that all of the Jewish holidays also have an agricultural aspect. Just like Pesach is Chag Ha'aviv, the holiday of spring, so too Shavuot is Chag HaKatzir, the harvesting. Sukkot is Chag HaAsif, to gather in. Girls, all of this only makes sense in Eretz Yisrael. Now, you come from different states. And obviously the climate in the south is different from the climate of the north. But let's take an extreme example. The southern hemisphere, Australia and South Africa. Do you know that they are davening for rain now
their summer, it's not their winter. So why are they davening for rain? They're davening for rain in Eretz Yisrael, because this is where we need the rain. As a matter of fact, the entire Torah was written for Eretz Yisrael. I remember learning, when I was in 11th grade, no, it was 12th grade, I learned that you're supposed to sleep in a sukkah, not just eat in the sukkah, men are obligated. So I looked in the Shulchan Aruch, and I looked in the Ramah, and I spoke to my Rebbeim, and they said, well, in America it's cold, and I actually grew up in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, where sometimes it actually snows, in Montreal, Canada also, it snows during Sukkot. That is not the harvesting season, right? And my parents thought I was crazy, and my mother said, make sure that you dress warm. So I put on two woolen hats, and two pairs of gatkas, you know, long underwear, and I put on my dubon, my winter coat, and I took the warmest sleeping bag that we had, and I woke up in the middle of the night, freezing cold, with icicles under my nose. And that is when I understood that the Torah was written for the land of Israel. Even the words in the Torah, right? When Hashem tells Yaakov, "Ufaratzta yama v'kedma tzafona v'negba," right? You all know the song? That pasuk in the Torah is based on the map of Israel. Ufaratzta yama. What is the word? What direction is yama? West, yafeh. Why is yama called west? Because in the land of Israel, the yam, the sea, is in the west. There's the Mediterranean Sea. Negba. What does negba mean in Hebrew? It means south, yafeh. Why is the south called negba? Because the Negev is in the south. Sometimes there's a pasuk that calls the south Teimana. What does Teimana literally mean? No. Towards Yemen. Now, why is the south called Teimana, towards Yemen? Because Teiman, Yemen, is in the south. Girls, the Torah only makes sense in Eretz Yisrael. And that we're told from the very beginning. The entire Jewish calendar is written to make sure that Pesach comes out when it is spring in Eretz Yisrael, because the spring of Am Yisrael has to meet the spring of our lover, of Eretz Yisrael. The same thing, for example, just this week, in one of the other midrashot, one of the girls asked me, why are mitzvot ben adam lechavero only towards Jews? Right? You'll know there's half the Torah is mitzvot between man and man, moral mitzvot. To return lost objects and lashon hara, not to steal, and right, etc. You'll learn this. Do you know that all those mitzvot are only towards Jews? Now, obviously, it's not nice to talk lashon hara about a goy, and you're not allowed to steal from a goy. And so why isn't it midoraita? Girls, based on what we just learned, the answer is obvious. Because the Torah is written for the nation, for the Jewish people living among the Jewish people, in a Jewish state, in the Jewish land. That's the way it was in the Tanakh. That's the way it is today already here for most of the Jews in the world. We're back in the Jewish state, in the Jewish land, and that's the way it's going to be from now on. Because in Yemot HaMashiach, that's the way it's supposed to be. We're not supposed to be living among Gentiles, right? That just leads to problems of intermarriage and what we learned about last time, right? That we want to take the good from the modern world, but we don't want to intermarry. So what's the solution? Remember what Rav Kook explains? The home court advantage. When the Jews are living among Jews in the Jewish state, that's what the Torah is addressing. Here, we could choose and take the good from the Western world without the problems of assimilating. Again, the Torah is written for Eretz Yisrael. I'll give you another example. Chevra, we just spoke before about Ever HaYarden, right? About Reuven, Gad, and Chatzi Shevet Menashe, right? That they wanted to stay on the eastern bank, right? Reuven, Gad, they want to stay on the eastern bank. Like you said, because there's good pasture here. Now, Moshe is telling them, he's saying, you want to stay on the other side of the Jordan only if you come with us to conquer
Eretz Canaan. You remember that? He says, on that condition, you can stay on the other side of the Jordan. Girls, has anybody ever thought of what is the other side of the Jordan? It depends where you are. If you're here, this is the other side of the Jordan. If you're here, this is the other side of the Jordan. Do you all see that? No, not in the Torah. In the Torah, even when Moshe and in Sefer Yoshua, even when they're talking to Reuven and Gad on the eastern side of the Jordan, they call it the other side of the Jordan. Why? Anybody catch why? Because the reader of the Tanakh is expected to be in Eretz Yisrael. The Torah takes for granted that when you are learning, you are living the Tanakh, you are here. So it says the other side of the Jordan is always on the east side, even when Moshe and Yehoshua and Reuven and Gad are on the east side. Did y'all catch that, or should I say it again? Right? Y'all caught it? Isn't that cool? Chevra, the Torah is worded for somebody who is living in the land of Israel. The Maharal of Prague figures out that most of the mitzvot can only be done in Eretz Yisrael. He doesn't go into detail, but I counted. I like to be exact. I counted that 315 of the 613 mitzvot can only be done in Eretz Yisrael. Again, the Torah was commanded for the Jewish people to do while living in the land of Israel. Yeah, that's a lot. I'll give you another interesting proof, and it's an answer to a famous question. It says in a lot of places in the Torah that they called the city Be'er Sheva, and its name is Be'er Sheva ad hayom hazeh, to this day, right? And Kever Rachel is Kever Rachel until this day. And it says in Sefer Yoshua, about 30 times, they called this place, and that is its name until this day. They called it this place, and that is its name until this day. Chevra, Chazal tell us in Masechet Baba Batra that Yehoshua wrote the book of Joshua. Okay? The Barbanel asks, he says there can't be. And he says, he differs with Chazal, which takes a lot of guts, and, you know, you have to be pretty convinced of yourself. He disagrees with the Gemara. He says, how could Yehoshua have written the book of Yehoshua if every place, 30 places, it says, and this is its name until this day, and this is its name until this day. What do you mean until this day? You just conquered it, and you named the city 2 weeks ago, and what's the big deal? It's still named that until this day. Do you see, you understand our Barbanel's question? It's a good question. I'll even strengthen the Barbanel's question. There is a city in Sefer Dvarim, Chavot Ya'ir. Ya'ir ben Menashe conquers a city, and he names it after himself. If I remember correctly, the Midrash says he didn't have children, so he wanted something to remain in his memory. So he names the city Chavot Ya'ir, and that is its name ad hayom hazeh. Now everybody agrees that he conquered and named Chavot Ya'ir right before we entered Eretz Yisrael. So what's the big deal? Its name is still Chavot Ya'ir. Even 2 weeks later, we haven't forgotten that its name is Chavot Ya'ir. Girls, do you understand the question? So by the way, I'll mention parenthetically, Bible critics, they bring this as a proof, quote unquote, that the Torah was written much later and Yoshua was written much later, because these psukim don't make sense, you know, to say that a place, it still has its name until this very day, 2 weeks later, right? And it's a good question, right? Bible critics usually ask good questions. Their answers are too simplistic. They just say, it's a mistake, or it was added on later. But the answer is what we've been talking about for the last 10 minutes. The Torah is worded for the learner, for the person who is reading the Torah in the land of Israel. The Torah is not worded for the time that it was given. That's the way we usually think, right? Because some of those psukim don't make sense in the time of Moshe. But if today in Tav Shin Pei Aleph in 2021, you go, say Shira goes to the Tachna Merkazit, and she wants to visit Kever Rachel, right? It's not far, 10 minutes away from here.
And she asked to buy a ticket for Kever Rachel, and they know where Kever Rachel is, and she knows where Kever Rachel is, and Rachel definitely knows where Kever Rachel is. And why? Because we're in the land of Israel, so we know where, everybody knows where Kever Rachel is, right? By the way, the Ramban writes in his commentary that before he came on Aliyah, he thought that Kever Rachel, based on the Pesukim, and there's a Pasuk in Shmuel, we won't get into it, that Rachel was buried in the area of Binyamin, which is north of Yerushalayim, where I live. But he says, when I came to Eretz Yisrael, I saw everybody knows that Kever Rachel is a little south of Yerushalayim, where everybody goes to Davin. In other words, when the Torah says that the name is Kever Rachel, and it is called Kever Rachel until this day, what does it mean until this day? Until 2021, and 2022, and another 100 years, and another 500 years. Because everybody knows where Be'er Sheva is, and where Kever Rachel is, and where Chavot Ya'ir is. Did y'all catch that? Girls? Should I say it again, or y'all caught it? The Torah is addressing a Jew who is living in the land of Israel. And that is why the whole idea of the Torah was given for the people of Israel in the land of Israel. Yeah?
Wait, I don't think I get the whole Kever Rachel thing. If it's in the Pesukim that said it would be north of Yerushalayim, how come it's not?
So it's not from the Pesukim of the Torah. There's a Pasuk in Sefer Shmuel. That's Mashma. And there's a Machloket, whether she's buried in Binyamin or whether she's buried in Yehuda. So the Ramban thought that the Pasuk in Binyamin is more important. And the other Pesukim, he'll break his head to figure out how to explain. But now he does the opposite. And he has to break his head to figure out what is that Pasuk. Like whenever you have an apparent contradiction, right? You have to break your head and find an explanation either to this or to that. However, let's look together in Source 2. I brought for you from Sefer Yoshua, Perek Hei. Ba'et ha'hi, at that time, remember that term, Amar Hashem el Yoshua, Aselecha charvot tzurim. Hashem tells Yoshua, make knives out of sharp stones. Vishuv molad b'nei Yisrael shenit. And it goes on to tell us that for 40 years, the Jews didn't do Brit Milah. When did the Jews last do Brit Milah? In Egypt, before they brought the Korban Pesach. Because you're not allowed to eat the Korban Pesach if you're Arel, if you're not circumcised. That's the halacha. So all of Am Yisrael during 200 years in Egypt did not do circumcision. Before eating the Korban Pesach, we all had to do Korban Pesach. During the 40 years in the desert, it's dangerous to do an operation, especially in an 8-day-old child, in a desert, right, with the wind and the sand. So Pikuach Nefesh supersedes everything, so we did not do Korban Pesach for 40 years. We did not do Brit Milah for 40 years also. And now, what does it mean, Ba'et Hahi? At that time, Hashem commanded us to do a massive Brit Milah. What does it mean, at that time? So some explain, because it's right before Pesach. And you cannot eat a Korban Pesach without having a Brit Milah. Anybody think of the other possible explanation? What does it mean at that time we had to do Korban Brit Milah? We're just about to enter the land of Israel. And the land of Israel, Eretz Yisrael, was promised to us, promised from Hashem to Avram Avinu, V'atai Briti Tishmor, you do Brit Milah, Hashem will give us Eretz Yisrael. Again, you do the Brit Milah. That's why we have to do Brit Milah before we enter Eretz Yisrael. Now we also have to do Brit Milah before we eat the Korban Pesach. Pesach and Eretz Yisrael go together. Again, Pesach is the spring of Eretz Yisrael, but it's also the spring of Am Yisrael. When Am Yisrael begins to flourish, you say that in English also in literature, right? The spring, when something begins to grow, this is the beginning. Pesach is the beginning of the growth of Am Yisrael. And because the Shidduch is so necessary, because The Torah was meant for Eretz Yisrael, and she is our beloved, and we are her beloved. They both have to be suited. And Rav Kook continues, and he says, one is a mirror image of the other. Let's look for a second in Source 3. I brought for you in Devarim, Perek Vav, Pasuk Kav Gimel. Ve'otanu hotzi misham, Hashem took us out of Egypt. Lima'an, what is Lima'an? So that. Why did God take us out of Egypt? We'll see in a second. The Yavetz asked the obvious question. Girls, Hashem could have given us freedom in Egypt. He could have taken us out of bondage in Egypt. He could have given us the Torah in Egypt. But we don't say freedom from bondage all the time. When we celebrate Pesach, when we say Kiddush and Shabbat, when we say Kiddush on all of the three regalim, we say Zecher liYetziat Mitzrayim. What is Yetziat Mitzrayim? What is Yetziat Mitzrayim? Leaving Egypt. Now, why is the main point leaving Egypt and not leaving bondage? Girls, did you all catch that? The Torah tells us. Because God, again, Source 3, God took us out of Egypt, liman havi otanu latet lanu et haaretz asher nishba lavotenu. God took us out of Egypt in order to give us the land of Israel. That's what the whole story is about. And that's why there are five languages of Geula. In Galut, we always said four. Votzeita v'itzalti v'ga'alti v'lekachti. What's the fifth lashon? V'heveti. We drink four cups. What is the kos shel Eliyahu, the fifth cup? That is the cup of Geula. That is v'heveti. Because that is the complete Geula to bring us to Eretz Yisrael. God didn't want us just to kick around the desert for 5,000 years. He took us out of Egypt in order to fulfill His promise to bring us our Basheret, to bring us to Eretz Yisrael. In our spring, it is the spring of Eretz Yisrael. Now here I brought for you the Yavetz, which will blow your socks off. Chevra, we all learned from a very young age the benching. The second bracha of benching. Nodelecha Hashem Elokeinu. We praise, we thank Hashem. Al shinchalta lavotenu eretz chemda tova ruchava. We thank God for giving us the land of Israel. The al shotzeitanu meretz Mitzrayim. And He took us out of Egypt. That's something else. Uftitanu mibeit avadim, and He freed us from slavery. Val britcha shechatamti v'sarenu, and He gave us brit milah. Val toratcha shelimadtanu, He gave us the Torah 49 days after leaving Egypt. Val chukecha shodatanu, He gave us the mitzvot. The Yavetz asked the obvious question that I have to admit I never noticed. Lichora in haseder mechuvan. The order here is not logical. Shari kibush haaretz meuchar. Hare, what is the order chronologically? First Hashem took us out of bondage. Then He took us out of Egypt. Then He gave us the Torah. Then He gave us Eretz Yisrael. That should be the last one, not the first thing on the list. Now, this is really a question on the Torah. Does anybody remember the Pasuk? Where do we learn that there's a mitzvah right to say Birkat HaMazon? Fantastic. Continue. V'achalta v'svata v'erachta et Hashem Elokecha al ha'aretz ha'tova asher natan lach. Girls, the mitzvah of benching is not just to thank God for food. That's true. But the pasuk in the Torah says the mitzvah of benching is to thank God for the good land that He has given us, for Eretz Yisrael. By the way, there's a interesting sefer called Sefer Kuzari Hashini. It was written by a rav, famous rav in England, 500 years ago. And he writes, Davka, Yom HaTzmaut is right around the corner, right after Pesach. And you all know, we say Halel on Yom HaTzmaut. Some say it with a bracha, some say it without a bracha. The Haredim don't say Halel on Yom HaTzmaut. Most of them, some do. But he writes 500 years ago, 450 years before there was a state of Israel, he says, what is the pshat of the pasuk? V'achalta v'savata uverachta et Hashem Elokecha al aretz hatova asher natan lach. When Hashem will return us Eretz Yisrael, we will have to sing Halil Because that is what the Pasuk says. When God gives us the land of Israel, we have to bless him. Did y'all catch that? Because that's the pshat of the Pasuk. You understand? V'achalta v'savata. When you eat, that's when we say birkat, but then we thank Hashem for the land of Israel when we eat. But the question is, why is it the first thing on the list? Right? It should be the last thing, chronologically. That's the Avitz's question. V'ayalo lazkiro basof. Here's the answer. Avon nachalata aretz kadma bivchinat hatachlit. Because you talk about the important things in terms of the goal of Yitziat Mitzrayim is to bring us to the land of Israel. Ka'amur, ale etchem mi'oni Mitzrayim ela aretz. I am taking you out of Egypt to bring you up on Aliyah. What is Aliyah? Ela aretz, to the land of Israel. Again, he goes on to say explicitly what we just said before. God could have given us freedom in the land of Egypt. He could have given us freedom in the desert. He could have given us freedom in Uganda or in America. Yitziat Mitzrayim is to come to the land of Israel. This is where the Torah was meant to be. I'll give a mashal. What is he saying? Girls, can imagine your father buys you a bicycle, 20-speed bike. Anybody have a nice 20-speed bike? You've seen them, these expensive things, professional. And they come also, they have a little pump in case you get a flat tire. And a little water bottle. You know what I'm talking about? On the bike, it comes with a water bottle, okay? Now, can you imagine, your father gives you a 20-speed bike for Rafi Cohen, right? And Leora says, Abba, thanks so much for that water bottle. And she doesn't mention the bicycle. Isn't that weird? Girls, first you thank God for the bicycle, which is the main point. And then you thank him for the pump. And then you thank him for the water. If you really want to be thankful, you know, so you mention everything. And we want to be thankful. So we mention the first thing first. What is the most important part of Yitziat Mitzrayim? Nodelecha Hashem Elokeinu al shinchalta lavotenu eretz chemda tova rochava. God, we thank you for the bicycle, for Eretz Yisrael. Afterwards, taking us out of Egypt was a means to give us Eretz Yisrael. Taking us out of bondage was a means to give us Eretz Yisrael. The Yavetz even goes on and says that even giving us the Torah was for the sake of Eretz Yisrael. Because the first thing, that's the main thing, that's the bicycle. Right? Let's go on. Ki nachalat ha'aretz itnai bekabalat Elohuto yidbarach. Because being in the land of Israel is a condition to accept godliness. Kamo shekatavti sham ba'orech, as the Yavetz says, I wrote in the introduction. What does he write in his introduction to the Sidur? He brings the Gemara Masechet Ketuvot, Kuf Yud Amud Bet. I brought it for you. Tanu Rabbanan, Lo'olam Yadur Adam Be'eretz Yisrael. A person should always live in the land of Israel. Afilu Bi'er Sheruba Uvdei Kochavim. Va'al Yadur B'chutz La'aretz. Afilu Bi'er Sheruba Yisrael. It's better to live in a city, even of idolaters in the land of Israel, rather than to live in a city of frum Jews in Chutz La'aretz. Why? Shekol hadar be'eretz Yisrael domek kemishel yeshlo Eloah. Whoever lives in the land of Israel, it's as if he has a God. V'chol hadar be'chutz la'aretz domek kemishel ein lo Eloah. Somebody who lives outside the land of Israel, it's as if he doesn't have a God. Shene'emar, as it says in Vayikra, latet lachem et eretz kenan liyot lachem le'elohim. God says, I am giving you the land of Israel to be your God. Chazal say, if you're in the land of Israel, he is your God. If you're in Chutz La'aretz, you have to obey the law of the land. You have to worship or serve HaKashverosh. You have to serve the law of America. Only in the land of Israel can we totally serve Hashem. Because here, he is the king. And that's why the Maharal points out that most of the Torah was given to be done in Eretz Yisrael. And that's why the Torah is worded for somebody who's living in the land of Israel. Right? Az ba'aretz v'aknani az. There's another pasuk. And it says about Avram Avinu, and the Canaanites were then in the land. That infers then they were in the land, but not now. And the Bible critics ask, what does that mean? That infers that that pasuk was written after the time of Yahushua, when we came into the land. You all understand the question? But now you understand the answer. What is the answer? What did we say before? Chaver, what did we say before? Why does it say the Kanani was then in the land, then and not now? Because the Torah is worded for you and I who are reading it and learning it in the land of Israel. Getting back to Rav Kook, or to summarize what we saw on the Yavetz, Eretz Yisrael is not just a means. A lot of people make this mistake. They think that, why do we need Eretz Yisrael? It's a means to protect the Jewish people. That's what Herzl said, right? We need a Jewish state to have a Jewish army to make sure that there won't be pogroms. Anybody who didn't understand that before the Holocaust understood it after the Holocaust. We need a Jewish country. Halavai should be in the land of Israel, but theoretically it could be also in Uganda, right? It doesn't have to be in the land of Israel. Other people say that we need the land of Israel as a means to stop assimilation. That here, even if somebody isn't religious, at least he's going to marry a Jew, his children will be Jewish, at least he's going to fast on Yom Kippur, because that's what everybody does. He's going to light Hanukkah candles, because that's what everybody does. He's going to have a mezuzah on his door, he's going to do Brit Milah, because that's what everybody does. Right? That is the big advantage of living in a Jewish state. Theoretically, though, that Jewish state could have been in Uganda. What is Eretz Yisrael about? And why do Chazal tell us that it's better to live in Ramallah or Nazareth, in a city of non-Jews in Eretz Yisrael, rather than living in Volozhin or Borough Park or Muncie in Chutz La'aretz? Why? It doesn't make sense, right? I mean, the atmosphere influences a person. So I would have thought that it's better to live among frum Jews in Chutz La'aretz than to live among idolaters in the land of Israel. Why is the halacha the opposite? So Rav Kook explains, what is the concept of love? Ava she'ina tluya badavar. You all remember that from Pirkei Avot? Love is something which is not dependent on something. I remember when I was a kid, I used to like reading sports biographies. And there was one of the greatest catchers in baseball history, Roy Campanella. He was the star of the Brooklyn, then Los Angeles Dodgers. And at the peak of his career, he was in a very serious car accident. And he was paralyzed from his neck down. And to make a long story short, a couple of weeks later, his wife left him. Don't be too upset, because in the end, he marries his physical therapist. And he writes in his biography, and I remember this from when I was 10 years old, even though I was not into mushy romances, I wanted to read a sports book. But it made a strong impression on me when he says that the good that came out of the car accident, even though it ended his career, was that he learned what is love and what isn't love. Shall catch that? His first wife didn't love him. She loved the idea of being married to an all-star catcher, and he's wealthy, and he's famous, and right? But after a car accident, and he's paralyzed from the neck down, and he can't even feed himself, she leaves him. She did not love him in the first place. Love is the physical therapist who loves him for who he is. Girls, I hate to break it to you, but your husband, in his 30s, will already be bald and will already be gaining weight. For sure in the 40s, for sure in the 60s. And you know what? Women also aren't as cute as they were when they hit the age of 60. Does that mean that you're going to abandon your spouse? That's not what love is about. You marry, you love a person because you love them. Not because you want this or you want that. That's what love is about. And that is why we loved Eretz Yisrael. And we prayed and we cried to come back to Eretz Yisrael for 2,000 years, even when she was ugly. Right? It was deserted here for 2,000 years. There weren't milk and honey. There were not figs and dates and pomegranates. It was not a nice land. It was deserted. Nevertheless, Jews always cried to return to Eretz Yisrael. And many came to be buried here, even though she wasn't so beautiful. Why? Because we love Eretz Yisrael. And love does not depend on whether she's beautiful or whether she's fruitful or not. And the same thing for the land of Israel, towards the people of Israel. Love is not dependent. Rav Shlomo Karlbach said it nicely. He says that love, how do you know? It's a good thing to remember, Bezrat Hashem, when you're looking for the right guy. Love is when you find somebody who brings out the best in you. And you bring out the best in him. Now, I don't know if you can understand that until you meet the right guy. I'll give you an example. When I was going out with who is to be my wife, we were driving, and in the middle of the highway, you know, in Yehuda Shomron especially, Arabs sometimes they throw rocks. And there was a big rock in the middle of the interstate. It's not a highway, but intercity. And your first reaction is, you know, swerve around the rock. But then I thought, wow, I'm going to impress my girlfriend now. I stopped the car, I went back, I took the rock, and I moved it to the side of the road. And I came back to the car, and I looked in the side of my eye, and I saw she was impressed. And that's what I wanted. Did you all see that? Chevra, when we all have a better side and a worse side, right? Sometimes we want to learn, and we want to daven, and we want to find a cure to cancer, and we're motivated, and we volunteer, and other times we're lazy, we don't feel like it, right? We're all a little schizophrenic. Find the guy who brings out the best in you. Did you all catch? You understand? That is Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. You all know that Am Yisrael is Am HaNaviim. We are a nation of prophets. All the goyim know that all of the prophets in the world were Jewish, right? The Muslims, they learned the Jewish prophets. The Christians, they learned the Jewish prophets. Moshe Rabbeinu, Isaiah, Yirmiyahu. Right? To this day, a lot of the black, and if you follow sports, you'll see a lot of blacks are named after Jewish prophets. Right? There's Isaiah, and Nehemiah, and Michael. Right? Michael is a Jewish angel, right? Chevra, there's only prophecy in the land of Israel. Do you remember Yonah, when Hashem wanted to send him to tell the people of Nineveh to do tshuva, and Yonah didn't want to get the nevuah, what did he do? He gets on a boat and he leaves the land of Israel. And when Hashem wants to speak with him, he has to send a whale, bring him back to the land of Israel, and then he can speak to him. Girls, we have potential to be prophets, but Eretz Yisrael brings out that potential. She brings out the best in us. And the same thing vice versa. I'm going to show you here a satellite picture of Eretz Yisrael. Girls, can you see the southern border of Eretz Yisrael? Do you see that? It's green. Shira, you see that? It's like God drew a line. This is where it's Jewish, this is where it's not. Here, it's still deserted. By the way, before we came back, the whole land of Israel was deserted. But now that we are back, the Ramban, in the Tochecha, in Parshat Bechukotai, he says, just like a loyal wife, whose husband goes on a long journey, she doesn't give herself to other men. She waits loyally and faithfully for her husband to come back. Am Yisrael waited for Eretz Yisrael, and also Eretz Yisrael waited for Am Yisrael. And this is the love affair. Why Chag Aviv, why Pesach has to come out during the month, during the spring of Eretz Yisrael. Because the spring of Eretz Yisrael has to match the spring of Am Yisrael. Pesach and Eretz Yisrael and Brit Milah, everything is one and the same. And even the Torah was given to us to be done in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is the goal. It's not the pump. It's not the water bottle. It is the bicycle. And that explains the Yavetz. It's not me. It's not Rav Kook. This is Rav Yaakov Emdin, one of the greatest rabbis of the last 300 years. He says, the reason why we say Nodelecha first for Eretz Yisrael, because that is the main point. And now you can say at the Seder, why do we always talk about Yitziat Mitzrayim, Yitziat Mitzrayim, Yitziat Mitzrayim? Because it would not have been enough just to be given freedom, or just to be given the Torah. God wanted to take us out of Egypt and fulfill the promise to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov to give us the land of Israel. I'll just finish off with an interesting idea. A friend of mine, David Ben Yosef, Zichrono Livracha, he passed away. He says, if you look at literature and plays and movies, there's this constant storyline of you have two guys fighting over the same girl. Remember that? Popeye. Remember Popeye? There's Popeye and Bluto fighting over olive oil, right? And this is throughout history. It was always this way. It's a good story. And the knights in shining armor, they used to joust it out. And whoever got knocked off his horse, he loses the girl. And the best knight, he gets the girl. In other times, they had sword fights, right? And the guy who wins gets the girl. In the cowboy western movies, remember, they have a duel. They walk 10 steps, and they turn around and shoot. And whoever is dead is dead. And whoever is not dead, he gets the girl. Okay. I have a good idea. Why don't we ever ask the girl who she prefers? Sounds a little feminist, but makes sense, right? It'd save a lot of bloodshed. It would ruin a lot of movies. But now, why do I mention this? Girls, the Arabs say that Eretz Yisrael belongs to them. We say, Eretz Yisrael, she belongs to us. Instead of fighting over, right, the Arabs for 70 years have been fighting to take away Eretz Yisrael from us. Instead of fighting and having so much bloodshed, why don't we just ask Eretz Yisrael who she prefers? For 1,300 years, Eretz Yisrael was deserted because she was waiting for us to come home. She was in the hands of the Arabs, but they couldn't do anything with her because she was loyal. Am Yisrael comes home, and you see that Eretz Yisrael prefers us. Let's ask the girl who she prefers. That's why the entire Jewish calendar goes around the idea that Pesach has to come out during the spring of Eretz Yisrael. The Bashert, the suitability of the spring of Am Yisrael for the spring of Eretz Yisrael. We mirror each other and bring out the best in each other.